Good morning, everyone. Welcome to People Can Fly Group conference call. My name is Magda Kupiec. I'm responsible for investor relations. Today with me, our group CFO, Satoko Jenkins.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for your time today. I'm Satoko.
And Sebastian Wojciechowski.
Hello.
Our CEO and major shareholder. We would like to present you today our Q1 financial results presentation, and also we would like to pay your attention to SPO that we announced today. So yeah, Seb, please start.
Okay, thank you. I will start with the legal disclaimer here. Welcome again to the PCF conference. So let's start this presentation with where we are when it comes to the headcount of PCF Group. We have grew for the another quarter by almost 5% this time. So from 612 people at the end of last year, 2022, to 642 people at the end of the first quarter. Our growth is obviously fueled by the growth of the development teams around the world. A quick look at our portfolio. We have already talked about Gemini moving from pre-production to production. We delivered the biggest vertical slice in the history of PCF with the end of last year, and that also concluded pre-production for Project Gemini that is now in the full scale and capacity. Send an ad hoc report about PCF starting negotiations with another global publisher about a different work for hire opportunity for PCF. We are going to talk about it more when the right time comes. We, together with the announcement of the updated strategy at the end of January this year, we discussed that we are going to focus on the self-publishing projects. Three of them, Project Dagger, Bifrost, and Victoria, are in pre-production from our North American teams. We also are excited about our two VR projects, Project the Green Hell and Thunder. Green Hell was launched last year, but this year we are planning to launch two new platforms, Sony NGVR and HTC. Thunder is also scheduled to be launched this year. So those productions should enhance our P&L and results this year. And the last is our Project Red, which is still very early in the concept stage. Those all projects, development of those projects simultaneously is only possible because of our transformation that we started more than 2 years ago with agile methods and practices. But it's also possible because of the development, further development of our PCF framework, so a proprietary add-on to Unreal Engine technology. And I think with this, we can go into the financial results for Q1, and Satoko, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Seb. So our strategic shift of the business model from work for hire to the self-publishing model accelerated in the last fiscal year. We are in a transitional period. We're increasing production capacity to develop and deliver our own products while lowering the dependency on work for hire for revenue and profit. So please look at the left-hand side of this slide. The key profit and loss accounts of 2022 decreased from 2021 after one of the work for hire contracts ended. For the same reason, the quarter one result of this fiscal year decreased compared with the quarter one 2022. I stress that we are not only investing our resource in developing our own products during this transitional period, though. We are working to ensure financial sustainability. I'll give you an idea. We recently published our ongoing negotiation with a global publisher. On 19th of May, they offered PCF an executive production contract. This is one of the examples showing that PCF is working hard to improve our financials. So let's move on to the next slide. Thanks. So let's look at the year-on-year cumulative revenue. On the left-hand side, you see that fiscal year 21's revenue from contract development was 178.4 million zloty. Two contracts generated this strong revenue over the whole fiscal year 21. Despite ending the contract with 2K, Work for Hire revenue remained strong in fiscal year 22. This is because we delivered significantly more services and milestones to Square Enix for Project Gemini. For most of the fiscal year 22, we worked on the Gemini project with full staffing. We even had a short-term further staff increase in quarter four because we needed to finalize work on vertical slice. Once we completed it, we went back to a normal size production team in quarter one this fiscal year. Additionally, to explain about the difference between quarter FY22, in fiscal year 22, we had the Green Hell launch. This was the first significant revenue from our self-publishing segment. As a result, fiscal year 22 revenue was helped with more US dollar income. While in quarter one, FY23 this year, we did not have a new product launch and only had the US dollar income from continuous sales. So, we expect more US dollar income in the second half, though, I have to say. As Seth mentioned before, we are planning to launch Thunder and also Green Hell VR on Sony Energy VR and HTC in the second half. So, one more thing, the euro weakened against the zloty in quarter one 23 compared with quarter one fiscal year 22. Therefore, revenue from the euro income in zloty is lower than it would have been if the euro zloty exchange rate had been the same. On the right hand side of this slide, you can see the quarterly revenue performance from 2021 to date. The trend of the self-publishing revenue is a long tail. Although sales decline from the launch period, the self-publishing revenue provides continuous revenue for a long period of time. Whereas with Work for Hire, we only get paid a fixed amount within the contracted time period. Okay, so let's move on to next slide.
Yeah, I would just like to add one thing, Satoko, if I can. So the first quarter this year results are the last one from that will be affected by the high base of 2022 because of the fact that the 2K contract finished first quarter of last year. So the results for the next quarter of 2023 will be compared to the lower base from 2022. The only thing that has to be taken into consideration is the results from the self-publishing. So mainly we are talking here about the launch of the Green Hell VR on Oculus and PC. That, as you could see in the second quarter, amounted to almost 1/4 of the revenue. So the launches of our next platforms from Green Hell as well as Standard Project are going to be key here to analyze the the revenue growth for the next quarters in 2023. But also, please take in consideration that half of the revenues generated by the self-publishing because of the Green Hell license were basically transferred to CreepyJar. So that was, from that standpoint, increase our profitability when it comes to Project Thunder.
Thanks, Dev. Exactly that. Thank you. So in this slide, you can see the historical movement of the key P&L elements. I have covered the revenue part in the previous slide, so I'm not going to talk about it much here. The trend of EBITDA and EBIT are correlated with our investment on the self-publishing IPs. At the bottom right-hand side of this slide, you can see that we are hiring more employees to support product development. That is the highlight of this slide. Can you move on to the balance sheet slide?
Yeah, I just want also to add here one thing, which is basically that obviously, you know, development of our games that we are going to self-publish is activated in our balance sheet. However, there are some costs related to the growth of the development team that hit our P&L directly. This is this is correlated with the recruiting costs and, you know, different stuff like signing bonuses. This is correlated with the overall organization growth, taking consideration that we are growing from, you know, 400, 500, 600 to 700 people. So there are some costs that are correlated with this. But also the last but not least is the self-publishing. We obviously there is a team that is growing to be able to service our growing self-publishing portfolio of games. But those are costs that are hitting our P&L directly. So to improve EBITDA this year, what we are working on is what I mentioned on the previous slide, which is self-publishing and the launch of our new projects, but also work on our new work for hire project that hopefully we'll be able to conclude soon.
Thanks, Seb. So on this balance sheet slide, I again highlight the business model shift and our focus on developing the products. Please look at the development and work in progress value shift on the left-hand side. Cash balance movement also proves this point that we are focusing on development of the product. We're investing our profit into our own products. So fiscal year 21 to fiscal year 22, cash balance decreased because of that. Also, please note that we secured revolving credit facilities in Canada, Seb mentioned before, and it is not included in the quarter one this year end balance. Of the total 9.2 million Canadian dollar revolving credit facilities we secured, 8 million Canadian dollar are based on the tax credit eligibility, while PCF, we wait for the refund from the government. So this is just, you know, proving that 8 million Canadian dollar is very much guaranteed in the near future. But meanwhile, this revolving facilities just enabled this cash to be advanced for us. So again, the cash balance in this report is not including this new revolving credit facilities. We are improving our cash flow and we are improving securing our financial sustainability. Seb, do you want to add anything to this?
No, thank you. Not to this slide. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Okay, let's thank you, Satoko. Let's move on to our SPO. As you remember, we updated our strategy the end of January, and here is the reason for that. So we are kind of answering three different macro trends on the game in the gaming industry. First is content is king. What is, you know, web for hire model is great when it comes to generating high EBITDA and profit and cash flow, but at the same time, it is not really building the long-term value for shareholders. What builds that value is IPs or IIPs. That's why we are focusing with our updated strategies on building IPs that we will be able not only to grow with the games that we are working on, but also possibly use them for other entertainment channels. So obviously this IP will strengthen our evaluation, especially after we launch all the projects that we have currently in works. Second key trend is self-publishing. We want to be able to control the process from for development, but also to marketing and sales and promotion of our games. And the third, but also important as the other two, is the game as a service model. This is allowing us to build and grow community around our games that will be with us for years to come, not only with launch and just after launch, but also in the years after launch, as we grow the game with new content, updates, and events. Secondly, it is important that we are able to use different monetization models with our own games. And the third is the fact that we are able to get the community feedback before launch. So with closed betas, with early access, this is allowing us to grow the games and change where necessary, even prior to launch, with the feedback from the community. So that's how we are also, with our updated strategy, answering those trends. We've been through our transformation that is allowing us to work on multiple projects in parallel. We have diversified portfolio of games that are using not only different genres, but also monetization models. And we grew the international team that is not only developing games, but also managing the company. Just prior to the SPO that we are launching today, we've been able to secure the deal with Krafton, that is a South Korean, one of the biggest South Korean publisher and developer of games. This SPO investment agreement, or according to this investment agreement, Krafton is going to sign up for more than 60% of the entire SPO new share offering for the price of 14 zloty 20 grosze. That should allow Krafton to be a 10% shareholder post SPO. And on top of some other terms that are between Krafton and myself as a shareholder, what is important for the company is the fact that Krafton also got rights of first offer, first refusal to publishing opportunities that are related to Project Victoria and Bifrost, should we decide to find a publisher for those projects. To fully conclude strategy, we obviously need new funds that SPO is for, but also have three other sources of financial resources. It's own cash that we have right now. It's also operational cash flow. So that is coming from our way for higher projects, not only with Square Enix, but also we hope with the new publisher that we are currently negotiating with, and different debt facilities that are not dilutive. We announced obtaining the loan from the Bank of Montreal that Sotoko mentioned earlier. This is on the right side, you've got the pie with the shareholders after the SPO, and also ESOP. So ESOP was announced with the updated strategy. ESOP is not diluting existing shareholders. It is entirely from my shares, and this structure is representing PCF shareholding after the SPO and ESOP is concluded. Another thing is also lockup for my shares. The lockup is till the end of 2027, so until conclusion of the of this new strategy period of 2023-2027. This is the SPO calendar. We announced it, opened it today. There will be a roadshow and a book building process for the next couple of days, and pricing and initial allocation of shares on June 1st, subscription and final allocation on June 9th. And just to remind our SPO goals, we want to grow PCF fivefold, so the cumulative revenues to grow to 3 billion zloty in the period of 2023-2027, compared to north of 600 million in 2018-2022. The cumulative EBITDA, as described in the ESOP rules, will grow to 1.5 billion zloty in the same period, compared to 185 in the previous five-year period. And that all is possible through the growth of our Aviator team from 600 at the end of 2022 to 1,200 by the end of 2027. And I think with this, we can move to the Q&A session.
Yes, please raise your hand or just unmute yourself and ask the question.
I'll write the questions in the
chat box.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Cool. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Emil Popowski from Pekao. Thank you for the presentation. I have a question about revenues, but going back to the fourth quarter, because I don't understand one element of the of your top line. Regarding games development revenues, which came in at 37 million in fourth quarter, and that position included 28 million in Europe and 10 million abroad. Can you please explain this position, because it declined to approximately 2 million in the second and the third quarter after you lose this contract with Take-Two. I'm just wondering why this position increased to this level in the fourth quarter.
Seb, is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, please go ahead.
So in quarter four, 2022, I slightly mentioned about our delivery of a vertical slice to Square Enix. We needed to increase our staffing, and we had delivered more very much intense milestones and production to Square Enix. That's the reason why quarter four, 2022 has a little spike. Does it explain?
Yeah, but
I think he's asking about Europe versus America, and that not America, but non-European, and non-European for then. I don't think this is the true though. I don't know. I cannot see it, the numbers for fourth quarter in front of me. So, but I don't see the reason why there would be such a decrease as you mentioned. I don't know if Michał is on the call and he wants to add something, or Oleg, but I just don't think that's what it is.
Because for the first 9 months of 2022, you had 25 million in revenues from other countries, and in the full year you had 35. So it's like a 10 million increase in one quarter. And as you,
I don't think this is true. So okay. To be honest, so we can come back to you offline, okay. But I don't think that's true, because there was not such an event.
Okay, that would be very helpful. I will write the email.
Sure.
So that was the first question. And the second question, can you please like give us an outlook for the top line development in the second quarter? I mean, should we expect similar trend like in Q1, or for example, something happened, you had to increase like the staff engaged in the production, or otherwise you had like lower number of milestones which you delivered. I would like just get something to
sure. And I think we already discussed that, right? That we have the full production team on Gemini, and nothing is going to change, or we don't plan any changes. So we should not expect any spikes, contrary to what happened in the fourth quarter. Right now, we are working on the full capacity on that project, and we are not expecting any changes. The only changes with the revenue should be associated with when we start working at a new Work for Hire project that we are negotiating right now, and second is our launches of our VR games in the next quarters. But since we have not announced the dates, I cannot discuss it right now.
Okay,
but please observe our portfolio launching schedule, and you will see when you can expect those launches to have impact on our top line.
Sure. Thank you very much. And maybe the last question about the talks about the new Work for Hire deal. Can you please try to approximate for how long such talks may continue? I mean, what is the probability that you will be able to finish the talks? Let's say in the second quarter, or do you believe that third quarter is most appropriate for this completion?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much I can say, but I would say what I expect is that when it comes to probability, it's high when it comes to second quarter.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah. Please raise your hand. Or just unmute yourself.
That's for commenting on.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe follow up to the publishing deal in Work for Hire segment. So what are the key factors you will consider regarding the negotiations, and what is your base case scenario for this deal? Is it similar to the previous ones, or can you elaborate more on that?
Kasper, I cannot disclose any details of that, unfortunately. So sorry about that, but please follow our ad hoc reports that we'll be able to outline more about it. I don't expect us to outline a lot when it comes after we sign, but you know, we will definitely obviously inform about signing of this agreement. And when you can expect us starting our work on this project.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got one question on the chat. I will read. Is your margin on Work for Hire project relatively lower than in past years, considering weaker results? What are your expectations for the future, considering stronger PLN and wages inflation?
I don't think our margin is significantly lower. Definitely the inflation in Poland and the pressure on the salaries is a factor, and definitely appreciation of zloty will have an impact as well. So we were benefiting from the depreciation of zloty in the previous quarters, and as zloty is appreciating, it will have an impact on the profitability. But I wouldn't say it will be high.
Okay, next question from Piotr Zielonka on chat. Could you please comment on headcount number you expect at the end of the year, assuming you can sign new Work for Hire contract you recently informed about?
I think each of the projects we are working on will, except for Gemini, will require us to have more people than we have right now. Obviously, our self-publishing projects in North America are in pre-production, so the team is scaling up. The new Work for Hire project means that we will also have to hire some people for that project. But it doesn't mean that we don't have majority of the team secured for that project already.
Okay. We are waiting for further questions, please.
So maybe one more question from me regarding the Work for Hire model. And I'm not asking about your project, rather for the entire market and your view for the entire industry. Do you believe that this model is still very attractive for publishers? Because When I'm looking for this model, for example, for your projects, you're making the projects, you're taking the margin for the entire like development time period, and the entire risking on the is basically on the publisher side. Mm-hmm. And we believe that currently, when we have a higher cost of capital, when the industry is like maturing, then more games are failing. Do you believe that still this model is like very attractive for you and for publishers in the long term, or rather you would prefer to like move to the self-publishing because the work for hire model is like not developing like you for example expected a few years ago?
I don't think this is a trend. I think that it is just the cycle of the maturity of the studios. I think that the beginning is always easier to sign a work for hire deal because it means that you don't have to have a huge capital to start your activity. You need to have enough capital to prepare, let's say, first playable or maybe vertical slice, but then the rest of the development will be taken over by the publisher. So there is some risk, and I'm seeing changes that it's very hard in the current environment to sell the project based on the PowerPoint. You need to have much more than this, right? So this means that there is a higher investment required at the beginning with the project. But I don't think anything is changing. I think the publishers, it's obviously a great way to work with developers because they've got the risk. But at the end of the day, if you sign the projects up later in the pre-production, so you already see what the game is going to be, then you are de-risking your decision. And from that standpoint, since publishers obviously are getting a majority of the profitability from the game that is breaking even, then this is the best model for publishers. But as the studios mature, it is obvious that bigger studios are going into self-publishing because this is more attractive and more profitable than work for hire.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. Thank you.
And not to mention that it's for the publisher, it's just easier when you are not happy with the project, and maybe you are changing your strategy. You don't want to develop games in that genre or this genre. You want to change or strengthen your quarterly results. You are just canceling the project, and then you are not dealing with the whole risk of scaling down the team and whatnot.
Okay, as I see, maybe we'll take one more question from the chat from Tomasz. Could you please give us the team sizes that are currently working on each project?
Yeah, I don't think we are offering this right now. Maybe we need to rethink it, and if we decide to publish those numbers in our results, we'll be doing this. But right now, we are not offering this kind of level of granularity when it comes to our team sizes, but we'll think about this as a possible change in the future.
Yeah. Okay, Maria, please.
Yes, hello, thank you. I understand you are not disclosing much at this stage of negotiations of new work for hire project, but just trying to understand some logic behind. So would it be fair to assume that the project that you are negotiating right now is at very early stage? So even assuming the signing of this work for hire agreement in second quarter, there will be some time for completion of the concept phase when we should not expect material revenues in like a quarter or two, and only afterwards a gradual increase or material increase in revenues from the project. So not immediately after signing the contract, or like would it work another way? Maybe some comment here. Thank you.
Yeah, great question. I think we are not offering a lot of details here, but I can say that signing this project will have a material impact on our positive impact on our P&L and results this year.
All clear, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have another questions? I think we can.
Well, maybe one more. So maybe one more. Sorry.
Yes, okay. Please.
Regarding your budget for the, like, let's say for the entire strategy, did you include any positive impact from the signing of new work for hire model? I mean, the new deal in this model, or this is the upside risk to your estimates?
We already had work for hire projects in our strategy included. So this is more like the realization of what we already had assumed.
So basically, if you will not sign the deal because you will not find like attractive conditions, that will create the risk that you will have to find another publisher to work with.
Yes, but we would not publish another report if we wouldn't be happy what we saw.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't see more questions.
No.
I think we can conclude
yes.
Right now. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
For the meeting. If any further questions can appear, please contact me. You've got my number. So just.
And we'll answer the question that Emil asked
yes.
At the beginning.
Let's try it after.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.